This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, in today for Terry Gross. Irfan Khan, the Indian actor who became a star in Bollywood and a success in Hollywood, died Wednesday in Mumbai after being admitted to a hospital for a colon infection. He was 54. Khan was raised in a middle-class family in northern India. He was admitted to the National School of Drama in New Delhi, began acting in Indian television in the 80s, and went on to become one of the country's most beloved film stars. He was honored with 4 Filmfare Awards. That's the Bollywood equivalent of the Academy Awards. Khan's best-known American films include The Namesake, The Lunchbox, Life of Pi, and Slumdog Millionaire, which won the Academy Award for Best Picture. He also appeared in HBO's In Treatment as Sunil, a man from India who'd lost his wife and was living with his son and daughter-in-law, Julia. In this scene, they've taken him to a therapist despite his protests because he's grown depressed and uncommunicative. Gabriel Byrne plays the therapist.
Julia implied that your grieving for your wife hadn't eased in the past 6 months. Would you agree with that?
Dr. Weston, my wife and I were married for 30 years. From the age of 23 until the day she died, I spent practically every day of my life with her. I do not understand the need to quantify the process of grieving, this need to count the years and months. I was a math professor, but this is not math. This is the furthest thing from math. It is only a feeling. And sometimes it is only a blankness.
Irfan Khan in a scene from the HBO show In Treatment. Terry interviewed Khan in 2012.
Irfan Khan, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you, Terry.
So let me play a scene from the film that I think you're best known for in the United States, and that's Slumdog Millionaire. And you're a detective, a police detective, and in this scene, you're interrogating the main character who's just won lots of money on the Indian version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And no one believes that this young man who's from the slums of Mumbai could actually know the answers to the questions and have made that much money. So you're assuming that he's cheated. And you have him hanging by his arms and with electrodes attached to his feet, you're actually administering shocks to him. Right. So here you are with Dev Patel as the Slumdog Millionaire.
It's hot and my wife is giving me hell. And I've got a desk full of murderers, rapists, extortionists, bum bandits, and you. So why don't you save us both a lot of time? And tell me how you cheated.
I'm done, sir.
Now listen.
Hello?
He's unconscious, Chuti. What good is that? How many times have I told you, Srinivas?
I'm sorry, sir.
Wow, Srinivas. Now we'll have Amnesty International here next, being in their pants about human rights.
Sir, I was thinking...
Get him down, tidy him up, please, for God's sake!
It's my guest, Irfan Khan, as the police detective in Slumdog Millionaire. How did the popularity of Slumdog Millionaire, international popularity of it, Academy Award popularity of it, change your life?
It didn't have any direct effect as far as Indian viewership or Indian exposure is concerned. But definitely here in America, people have seen it, and it was a rare opportunity for me to be in the ceremony of Oscar awards. That was something which was I experienced for the first time, and it gave me a visibility in America. But there were films which I did which were close to me, was Namesake, and I'm still very fond of that film, and that's my dear film, which really made difference in my life as far as American market is concerned.
And this was a film in which you played an Indian American who's, you know, moved to the U.S. with your wife, and your son has become very, you know, Americanized, and is trying to kind of make sense of his Indian American identity. And his name is Gogol, which he's always hated. And toward the end of the movie, you tell him the story of how he was named that. And it's a very moving story. You play a college professor in it, but you're a very smart, very quiet, subdued man who obviously has a lot of very powerful feelings inside, but you don't express it with a lot of drama. You're a very kind of subdued personality in it.
There was something new at that point of career. I was doing films which had a lot more to do with my presence on the screen. And when this opportunity came to me, I never knew that it's going to challenge me in that way, that I need to work on my presence, that it should become like an obtrusive. It shouldn't just jump out from the screen. I have to work on being unnoticeable. That was something, you know, something new for me to exercise in this part. And that made you know, a hell of a lot of difference in my career. You know, it just gave me. Sometimes, as an actor, you get challenges which you think that, you know, how am I going to do that? And that's where the fun begins. You know, when you really, you know, fulfill the demand of the part, and you can, you know, achieve what you were supposed to achieve. And that's what Namesake did to me.
It's interesting that it was such a challenge for you to be inobtrusive.
You know? Yeah.
I've seen posters for some of your Indian films and seen a couple of scenes, you know, on websites from them. And you know, there's scenes of you with guns and scenes of you, you know, and there's love scenes, and you're working with a warlord in the mountains. And so, you know, those are roles that we haven't seen you in American films.
Yes, what you're talking about, Warlord, yeah, that's the film which take me out of my slumber. You know, that was a film which really gave me birth. I was losing my interest in acting, and I was doing a lot of television, and television was making me bored of this profession, of this job of being an actor. Television was more of a verbal medium. It was more of a radio play. You know, at that time when I was doing television, you know, so I was not having good time as an actor, and there was nothing to discover, and so I was losing interest as an actor, and I was contemplating to leave this job. At that time, I got this film called The Warrior, it was produced by Channel 4 and directed by Asif Kapadia, and that film really changed my life. The experience of doing that film and being with that director, it's, you know, it's something, you know, it really completely put my life into a different path. And that's a film which is again very dear to me, and that's the first time I went out of India when they had the premiere of Warrior in London, and that's the first time I saw foreign land. I was never out of India before that.
And what year is this?
It was 2000, I think. 2000, yeah.
You've done a lot of films in India. We associate Bollywood movies with a lot of like singing and dancing and, you know, big production numbers. Have you been in that type of Indian film?
Oh, yes, I did try those films, and there were a few I did. Those films, and but I was never ever comfortable with things like just breaking into a dance without any rhyme or reason. I think my training in theater stopped me from doing these unbelievable situations, and I think it's a kind of challenge for an actor to believe in these situations which are completely fantastic. Like, you know, you're sitting here and you just break into a dance, and, you know, you start singing. But I think, you know, it's a great way of entertaining people, and, you know, just trying to create a world to make believe, and, you know, I like that. But I couldn't do that.
So how did your parents feel about you becoming an actor?
My mother still feels that I could she would be much more happier if I come back to my hometown and I take up some job, decent job, and so that I don't have to be away from her. She still feels that. Sometimes when my film comes and I forces her to go with everybody, that's the only time she says, okay, this was good, this was, you know, she's pleased with that. But within her heart, she is still, you know, she still yearns for me to be there with her. So that's a kind of, you know, a pain I carry with me. You know, I don't know what to do with it.
So does your mother take any solace in knowing that even though you're not living very close to her geographically, that you're so successful and so well-known and popular in India?
It does do something to her, but not enough for her to really feel, she still wants to see me.
She still wants to see you anyways, huh?
All the time, yeah. She has this feeling that all we brothers should be together, we should be living in the same house, and we should be, you know, sharing everything. You know, she's like she just wants to put all of us under her wings, and, you know, she wants to feel good about it.
So, I assume you grew up seeing some American movies as well as Indian movies.
Right.
Were there American movies or American actors that influenced you and made you interested in performing?
Oh, yes. They played a major role in my education as an actor. I was in drama school. There's not many drama schools in India. There's one which is authentic. It's the National School of Drama in Delhi. There's a 3-year degree course. So I was doing that, and I had so many questions about how to learn acting and what acting is all about and things like that. And I started watching films at that time, because earlier we were not permitted to watch films.
We meaning from your family?
We mean like my family didn't allow us to watch films.
Why not?
Because they were coming from this feudal background, and, you know, they had this attitude of looking down upon films. Like, these are not good influence. They used to think like that. So we were not allowed to watch films. And when I went to drama school, and there was a theater where all these interesting films used to play on a very discount rate. And that's where I watched Scorsese or Costa-Gavra or Fellini, and that was something eye-opener to me. And I've never seen Brando before that. I never knew who Robert De Niro was. I never knew Al Pacino. I never knew anybody. And that suddenly opened my doors and windows. And that's where my real training started. And that's what gave me a kind of drive, perpetual drive, as an actor.
Were those movies dubbed or subtitled?
No. They were subtitled. Like subtitled, like Fellini's film was subtitled.
So you got to hear Brando's voice. You got to hear Pacino's voice.
Oh yes.
Because that's something
they
you
were
lose
not commercial release.
Yeah. Oh,
no, they were not commercial
release.
They were like patronized by government, and these theaters were not commercial theaters. They were there. There was a kind of cultural center in Delhi, and they used to run these films just to popularize art.
Did your parents let you watch television when you were growing up, even though you couldn't see
television
movies?
Came a little late, I think. In our house, television came in 84. It's just a year back. Yeah, 83 it came in our house, and at that time it was just two channels used to come, which were government channels. They were not private. Private channels started coming in India around 2000. Before that, there was just two channels. you know, and it used to start around 6 in the evening and it used to end around 10:30 or 11 at night, just those 2-3 hours.
When you were doing a lot of television, were they government-controlled programs too?
Yeah, there were. There were two channels. There are two channels which is owned by government. But then, you know, they opened up for private channels. And then there are more than 100 channels.
You studied at the National School of Drama in India. And I don't know if there's a specific approach to acting, a specific school of acting that's taught there. But I'm wondering if there's any comparisons you could make between acting as you learned it and acting as you think you may have learned it if you went to one of the theater schools in England, or if you'd studied, you know, the method in the United States.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. See, we don't have a culture of realistic acting in India. Our films still are influenced by Parsi theater. Parsi theater was known for melodrama. So it's still carried, in even today's time, it still carry that melodramatic, you know, aspect of still there in our cinema.
And when you say melodramatic, you mean everything's like a little overstated, a little
overstated, and it's all about emotions, and you know, you just have to project your emotions. You don't have to behave in a realistic way. You don't have to be believable. You just have to, you know, mesmerize the audience with your histrionics. So that was a kind of, you know, cinema was inspired, or you know, it adapted that element. And we don't have any school like, you know, you have here. You have teachers who studied Stanislavski, and they developed their own techniques, and they had their own way of teaching people how to go about doing a role or performing a role realistically. So we have no techniques. So it's like trial and error, you know. You find your own method. Although we had a kind of drama training in early ages, but it's really ancient, when theater used to play a very important role in society. So, but that's not practiced in today's time. That's like 2,000 years old.
In an interview on Al Jazeera, you told a story that I thought was really funny. And the story is that, you know, when you wanted to, like, act on television, you must have been pretty young when you did this, you climbed up like this little mountain or hill where the TV transmission tower was, and you figured when you got there, that's where the offices would be and the people, and you could see if you could do something there. And then you got there and you realize it's just a tower. how old were you when you did that?
I was 14. It sounds strange. In today's time, 14-year-old boys is, you know, much more smart, and you know they know. But I think we were very naive. We were very naive, and that's what somebody, my cousin, told me, that you know, there, if you want to work in television, you see that you know tower on the mountain, you know, there they have office, and you can go. We can go there, and we can ask them, you know, if we can work in television, and that's what we did. We climbed the whole mountain. You know. There was nobody. Not even a dog.
So what was your reaction when you realized there's nothing there but a tower?
Like, no tower. Then we started roaming around on the mountain. So we forgot about getting work on television. We just having a great time on mountain.
Did you go to a real TV studio after that eventually?
No. I thought, you know, this is not going to work out. And, you know, it just...
Irfan Khan, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you so much.
Indian actor Irfan Khan speaking with Terry Gross in 2012. Khan died Wednesday. He was 54.